I'm really excited about that matchup with him and AJ and watching those guys go out there and compete. Like, that AJ has one of the toughest jobs on the team every single week, right? You go out
right
first week of the season, you got Pickens. Next week of the season, you got this guy. Then you got Deontay Johnson last week. And you're going to go out there and you're going to match that guy up with those guys that we know how much money they make.
Right, right, right.
Every single week. And they don't make that money by mistake. They make it because they earn it. And he has to go out there and play. And they're going to make catches. They're going to have receptions. And you got to keep fighting.
And he makes a lot of money, too.
Hell yeah.
For that specific reason. Like, yep. AJ Terrell got a whole new big contract this preseason to be that guy. And he has been. And he's been pretty solid. There's been games that were better than other ones. He had a pick last week, and it's great to see.
Yeah, man, that's the only thing about being a corner, because you can play 40 plays.
Yep.
Play 40 plays covering a guy, and he catches three balls on you.
Yep.
And maybe one of those four touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Oh, he sucks. What about the other 37 damn plays?
He did great on this other 37.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's just what happens, right?
Yep, it is.
You talk about, like, the best cornerback I've ever been on the field with was Darrell Revis. You didn't catch balls on him. Mm-mm. You just didn't.
No.
You know, unless you were a all-world Randy Moss type player or prime whatever, whatever. And a lot of them times, you didn't get any catch on him. But, no, that's what you gave him the money for, to play against these number one guys. Mm-hmm. And they get the best because he's a receiver, and you know where you're going. And as a corner, you got to make the right technique and right guess and all those other different things. But, I thought, when you talk about their receiver core, we mentioned it every day this week. I mean, DK Metcalf, in my opinion, is a bona fide number one receiver. This dude is an animal. All right? He's a stud. He breaks tackles. Now, the one thing about him is he gets overly aggressive, so you better be – if he's blocking you, you better not be, like, pulling back, because this dude will embarrass you. Mm-hmm. So you better stay grown man strong the whole time, all right, when y'all locked up, because this dude will try to put you on your back.
He'll also fumble. And you got Jesse Bates out there with the little jab punch. He knocked a couple balls loose so far this season. So, and that's one of those things, is like, you're fighting him to get to the ground. Fight him. Because Jesse might be able to get in there and knock a ball loose. Because Deke, I don't know if it's a problem, but he's put the ball on the ground quite a bit. I mean, he's a deep threat, man. He'll beat you over the top. And Geno and him have a great connection. Mm-hmm. And
he can go.
He's a nightmare if you let him be. One of the best ways to stop those deep balls is to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, that would help.
Don't let the play develop. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Get there before he's able to get all the way downfield. Smith and Jigba's had a kind of an up and down year, but he's a really solid player. Obviously, look, Tyler Lockett has been in the league for a decade, catches everything.
He finally cut that damn George Jefferson off.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I think he finally cut it off, man.
That's pretty good.
It was, dog. I was like, dude, this got to be like a prank or you doing it for the cul-de-sac brothers or something, man, because you got to let that go.
Yeah, but look, they got good skill positions, certainly from a receiver position. They got good running backs. Geno's a good quarterback. They have an awful offensive line, and you have to be able to take advantage of that.
Who's the tight end out there, Buck? So
Noah Fant? Kind of the lead guy now.
Is Disley? Is Disley still there?
No, he's not there.
Disley's not there. Okay.
No, I don't know where he went, but he's not there.
Look, I like to come.
He's a good player.
Yeah, I like him coming out of college.
Yeah. Chargers, plays with Chargers.
Okay, yeah, I like to come out of college, but I think that
me too.
Noah Fant can play. You know, when given the opportunity. I mean, that's why they wanted him in the trade for us. The dude could play, and he's a first round draft pick for a reason. Coming out of Iowa, he's a good player and everything, and they just have not ingratiated him that much in this offense. But dude, he still has a lot of ability. And you said they're leading the league in passing because they can't really run the football. And they got good runners that can't run the ball. Now, when you talk about this Atlanta Falcons defense, they're not the best run-stopping defense in the league. So that's why you always, don't be the get-right defense for that run game to get going. Because, when they can find a way to run the football, that takes less pressure off of Geno to have to do that. Because the more Geno throws, the more likely he's to make a mistake. Mm-hmm. The more likely he's going to throw you an interception.
Yeah, it's weird. Sometimes we talk about matchups and it's like it's a strength on a strength. And we'll see who's better at it. A lot of this matchup is kind of a weakness on a weakness. Like, they're not a very good run team so far because their offensive line isn't very good. Well, the Falcons don't stop the run great.
Right.
So, I guess which one's worse? Like, their offensive line can't really protect the quarterback, but the Falcons sure can't rush the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, I guess which one's worse?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Their defense is not particularly good at stopping much. Certainly not good at stopping the pass game.
They got some good damn players.
Now, I guess the Falcons are good at throwing the football. Yeah. So that's helpful. You should be able to take advantage.
And they got some nice corners, nice young corners.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they got some nice young corners.
Well, they got Devin Witherspoon, who we both loved.
Loved coming out
a couple years ago in the draft.
And then you saw the game against the Jets, it was, where you saw why this dude was unbelievable. And, I mean, they got some good young corners. The linebacker, they're good, but they're hurt. They're good, but they're hurt. And I don't know what the hell's going on in the interior. Leonard Williams, he is what he is.
Well, and they got Brian Murphy from Texas, too.
He's a big dude.
But he's hurt.
But he's hurt. That's what I'm saying. Like, their defense, they're young. They got some young, good young players on their defense, but they're just all banged up.
Yeah.
They're all banged up, especially on that defensive line. But, I mean, you look at their corners, they got two really good young corners. Really good.
But Tariq Woolen's hurt, too.
That can tackle.
You know?
That can tackle.
So that's a part of it, is their defense has guys, but like half the really good ones are hurt.
Yeah.
Which is how they gave up 30 points at home to Daniel Jones a couple weeks ago. If Daniel Jones can put up 30 points on that defense in Seattle, then Kirk Cousins in this offense should be able to put up 30-plus in Atlanta.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I mean, they back-to-back game, 30 points. Why can't score 30 again?
Do it again.
Do it again.
Do it again. I'll sign me up for that. They scored 30, they're going to win this game. Let's hear from Kirby Smart talking about the stadium environment at Texas.
Oh, the similar environments? Yeah, I don't know. That's what they say. I've never been. I mean, I've been, but I've never been for a game. I've been there to meet with their staff like years ago, but I don't know. I mean, I know it's SEC environment. I know it's a, you know, top 10 matchup. I mean, you're talking about powerhouse program. So then we at least we played at Kentucky, which was really hard. We played at Alabama, which was really hard. And so we've got some experience in that environment, but it'll be road environment.
That place is going to be crazy.
Oh yeah.
Is it Longhorn Stadium?
I don't know.
Whatever
it's called, Texas Stadium.
Texas Stadium. It's going to be absolutely
DK bonkers. Royal. Okay.
It's going to be bonkers down there.
Yeah.
And this article is first of all, Austin, Texas right now is on. Was it Liddy? Is that the word?
That's not what I would say, that's right.
It's Liddy. You heard Rusty talking about people are already at the airport flying down there today.
Yeah.
Obviously, Formula One is down there this weekend for the first one, I think, in Austin. So that's going to be a whole nother crowd that's going to be absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
Because
do those crowds overlap at all?
I don't know. Because F1 is –
because it doesn't seem like
F1 crowds are – well, the crowd itself. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But like it's more celebrity.
Right. It seems kind of I mean, you are kind of a new F1 fan, and Mike Bell's a big F1 fan and a big college football fan. So there's some Venn diagram.
They're somewhere in that area.
Like, somebody's going to go to both.
Rich,
you got to have a lot of money.
You got to have a lot of money to go to both of them.
Yeah.
But it's going to it's going to be a lot of fun. That atmosphere is going to be crazy.
I believe Darrell Royal, who the stadium is named after, I believe his first game he ever coached at Texas was against Georgia.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what was the score?
Don't remember. Don't recall.
it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be a heavyweight fight.
It is.
It's a heavyweight
Absolutely
fight,
right.
You know. And Georgia is becoming the standard in the SEC. I still think it is Alabama, but whatever. But Texas, Sark built an SEC team.
Definitely.
He built this.
Definitely.
You know, and so these dudes are going to come in. They're just as big as Georgia. They're just as fast as Georgia, maybe faster. You know, they're everything that you need to win in this game. And just like Kirby said a couple days ago, they are built like we were when we were winning championships. Built just like it. Funky in the interior. Quarterback, receivers, runners. I mean, I think they got everything. Now, they're giving up 6 points a game. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, dude.
Exactly.
The best passing offense they've played so far, and no disrespect to them, they're good for the level that they play at, was UTSA.
Yes.
UTSA, that's the best passing offense they've played. I'm willing to go out on a limb and say that Carson Beck and Georgia's passing offense is better than that.
I'm almost positive.
Yeah,
I'm almost
I feel
positive.
Good about that.
I'm almost
now,
positive.
How good? I don't know.
We'll see.
At times, very. At other times, not as.
If they catch,
find a way to be consistent.
If they catch the ball,
yeah, that's true.
If Georgia receivers catch the ball,
yeah, you had this number earlier in the week, and you're spot on about it. I mean, Carson Beck is second in the nation in terms of dropped yardage lost.
Yes,
200 yards of dropped passes so far this year.
Just catch it,
yeah,
especially number 11, because he's going to.
Well, I have to imagine 150 of those.
He's going to get opportunities. He is. He's going to get those, and he's going to get them, and Carson's going to put it there.
Yeah.
Catch it.
Got to catch it.
Got to catch it.
Because he's going to get open because he's fast
yes,
as hell.
He's going
and
to
Carson's going to put it there because he has.
Yes.
He has.
Catch it.
You just got to make the play.
Got to catch it.
And it's going to happen early, too, because
yes.
it always
you
happens
know
early.
You know always,
the first drive already, Georgia has.
It's already scripted.
It is.
Bubba already got the first 15 scripted.
It's the second first and 10 they get.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
The first, whatever they do, you're going to run it on first down. Maybe they pick up the first down on the second play. That second first and 10,
yep.
Arian Smith. Down the field.
Yep. In these corners, you got to go. Now, I saw that Bond is going to be back this week.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big damn deal.
I saw
Bond's going to be back this week. But, I mean, when you look at it, it's all, Kirby's not. They're not going to change their defense and go, we're going to go zone and all of that stuff. No. They're going to play man-to-man. They're going to play man-to-man, and the ball's going to be in the air, and Quinn Ewers is as accurate quarterback as there is in college football, and they're going to have opportunities to make plays. What Kirby always talks about, you got to have more moments than them. They're going to make some plays.
Mm-hmm.
They're too damn good not to. Texas is going to make plays. They're too damn good not to. It's going to happen. But how does Georgia, when they get the opportunity to win, when they get an opportunity to get an interception, when you get an opportunity to get a guy on the ground to keep it to make it fourth down instead of that, when Quinn Ewers tries to get those dirty yards and you collapse their pocket, those are the things. And it ain't about being perfect. This is like we said earlier. Georgia don't got to play a perfect game to beat Texas.
No.
But Georgia's got to play good.
They
got to play their best game of the season.
Absolutely. Without question. They have to play as sound as they did in the second half against Clemson. They have to play as explosively as they did in that 15-minute stretch against Alabama.
Definitely.
Like, there's been glimpses of it. Unfortunately, it just hasn't been consistent enough. And they got to hit the quarterback, too.
Really?
Like, the most impactful hit on a quarterback Georgia's had this year was Kirby. On the sideline last week. that's got to change, man. What's the guy's name? Mikael Williams? I know he was hurt. I know he got cheap-shotted in the first game, but come on.
It's time to go.
You got to get home, man. Like, this guy's got to get Quinn Ewers on the – because this is true of any quarterback, but Quinn's not like he's athletic, but he's not like some of these guys that can make you pay if you overcommit to trying to get him on the ground. Like,
right.
If you rush Quinn Ewers and make him uncomfortable, he'll make mistakes.
Yes, he will.
And he'll throw the ball away, and you can win in that way. He's got to have these playmakers do it, and unfortunately, they haven't done it quite yet.